I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Merry Christmas. Hope you had a great Christmas. Great Boxing Day. You know, we all did. Did you have a lot of stuffing? And Alex, did you have stuffing with your Christmas dinner?
I did, yes. I had turkey that was, and then they put stuffing in the middle of it, turkey slices with stuffing in the middle of it. Not enough. I like a lot of stuffing. I like that to be separate from the turkey slices that they give out. Need more stuffing.
Well, do you know who got more stuffing?
Who got more stuffing?
Patriots against the Bills.
There you go.
Because
we didn't stuff them. Because
we stuffed Mac Jones.
We didn't stuff the run. Whereas, but that's probably the biggest. I said all year that the Bills' strength is forcing the other team to pass. And you do that by having an efficient and potent offense. And even though the Patriots were able to run on us, we kept scoring and we held them just enough to make Mac Jones throw the ball. And he was bad at it. That was the exact blueprint of how we can win every single game against every single team. By not punting.
Exactly.
The Bills offense has their shit figured out, you know, when they're not tinkering, I honestly think that, you know, if I'm Brian Daboll, I'm like, hey, Josh, just go do whatever you want. He might not even have called a play all game. He just said, Josh, just you do it. Yeah. You know, we're obviously not at Peyton Manning levels of calling a game, but like, Daboll knew exactly what to do to put Allen in the right place to succeed and score points. And it was a little bit of that is probably the Patriots defense playing man coverage. Their strength is man coverage. Whereas in a perfect situation, McKenzie gets the spotlight and his speed just destroyed man coverage. Looking at his routes run, it was all crossing routes. And oh my God, Allen was just pinpoint perfect to McKenzie, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the perfect Bills game plan and perfect, you know, way to exploit their weaknesses and balance out our own weaknesses.
I mean, was there any, I know the first, I think what the first three series, I think we scored pretty much on almost every single possession, the first three,
the third one was the fourth and one to McKenzie that he dropped. Let me check.
Okay. But at least on the first two where we had that balanced offense, they actually mixed in both. I don't know why they actually started to move away from it a little bit on there. I mean,
what do you mean?
Well, they didn't. They actually started passing the ball a lot more. Towards the end. I mean, after those first down that got us, 10 points or something like that.
First drive, touchdown pass to McKenzie. Second drive,
field goal.
Third drive, incomplete to Sanders on fourth and one.
I want to see a little bit more on that. Yes, they had 114 rush yards. I mean, okay, the majority of it was pretty much Allen again on there. But
12 rushes for Josh Allen. I can't believe we didn't see that in the last matchup. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you got 12 for Singletary.
Yep. He looked really
only
good.
Three for Moss.
In the dump-off game, he looked really good. I know 12 for 39 is not that impressive, but I was very happy with Singletary yesterday.
I mean, I'm hoping to see him on the on Good Morning Football with
Angry Runs
with that catch.
One of that first ones he had was really, really
good. Yeah, he pretty much tried Duggar and all that for a first down on there. Yeah. But no, I think what we need to do, I think we're starting to get the run going a little bit more now, which is good. We just need to sprinkle it and actually obviously keep as we are passing, but try and get it in a little bit more. It's not necessarily just making Josh Allen, designing it for Josh Allen. But even if it is getting Singletary, in this instance, Moss had 3 for 12 yards on there.
And McKenzie
really had... get them involved a little bit more. Yeah, McKenzie got 1 for -1. I think it was on that sweep for it. But I like those first few plays, and I think that is one of the keys in this offense, because we know we're getting that running, even though it's not productive. It's not as productive as the Patriots one, which we still can't stop the run, and Harris ran amok against us again. But we're putting this defense, we're putting the opposition defense in a bit more confusion, because we don't know whether they're going to carry on the run, even though we're not as successful to sell out the pass.
Yeah, the best way to do that is not what we were doing in the middle of the season, which was trying to establish the run to set up the pass. What we're doing now is we're using the pass to set up the run, where you get defenses comfortable expecting a pass, and then you run off of that. And that's much more successful, because, you know, you gotta just recognize what your players are good at, and understand and accept what they're bad at, and don't make them do something that sets them up to fail. That's what we've experienced from bad coaches in the past. I remember the most frustrating thing that we had with Rex Ryan was he wanted the Bills players to play his system when he didn't have the right players for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a little bit of McDermott's tinkering was after the Titans game, was for whatever reason, he wanted to be like, all right, we got to run the ball better. Let's go out and try that. And it's like, you don't do that. And that's why we went 3-5, because we lost our identity. And then at halftime in the Bucs game, someone slapped someone in the face and said, hey, this is what we have to do. And since then, Allen has been on fire. This offense has been nearly unstoppable. And that's exactly what needs to continue to happen. It doesn't matter who the players are. If Davis is out, if Beasley is out, we can replace pretty much anybody, because we have one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. So there's 2 real talking points from this O-line, which we'll go into this offense, which we're probably not going to too much detail about, because we could probably talk for ages on it. Is first one is obviously Cole Beasley versus Isaiah McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they cut Beasley at the end of the season, which is a possibility, who knows?
I believe it'll happen.
You'll save $6.1 million on the salary cap.
Yeah, you love the money coming back. You get rid of the headache, and it's clear that he's lost a step. He couldn't have done what McKenzie did yesterday, because I don't think he can beat man coverage anymore. He's still smart enough and shifty enough to find the holes in the zone, but he's not making those plays versus man coverage. So McKenzie, I see them probably splitting time when Beasley comes back, just because, he's got a connection with Josh, but his role will be severely diminished when he comes back. It's going to be tough to see what happens with this receiver core when Davis and Beasley come back, because of how important McKenzie has become now. God, I can't believe they played those games with him in the middle of the season.
I think you look at it.
Sanders looking really bad too. You know, he's been really frustrating lately. So will the veterans be upset about losing playing time? You hope not, right?
I don't think they will. Okay. I mean, if that was the case, Beasley would have thrown his toys out of the pram. Okay, yeah, he's deactivated pretty much social media up until he got Sam put on the COVID list.
Yeah, he's back on.
But we would have heard more about Cole Beasley not being happy about not being losing reps, and Sanders as well. I mean, with McKenzie, you've got a guy who can do what Beasley does, is way faster than Cole Beasley is, and willing to put his body on the line. But we save $6.1 with with Beasley, and you don't have to overpay McKenzie. Mm-hmm. And we were 6 of 12 on third downs yesterday. Mm-hmm. 5 of those 6 were to McKenzie. We always refer to Cole Beasley as third and Cole.
Yeah.
McKenzie's pretty much doing the same, has done the same job. And I just want to take it back to, yes, it was the Dolphins. It was the last game of last season. But McKenzie, again, had a breakout time when he was really pretty much one of the starters in there.
And he can play corner.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got someone that you don't have to overpay as a wide receiver. And you've got Gabe Davis, when he comes back, taking stuff away from Sanders. You've got two guys there who are not, at the moment, going to break that bank.
Yeah.
Which we can use to fortify what we're going to come on to next and talk about the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yesterday, after Botka went down with Achilles, which probably season done for the rest of the regular season, possibly the playoffs, that O-line of Dawkins, Ryan Bates, Morse, Williams, and then Spencer Brown kicking back for right tackle, only gave up 4 quarterback hits and no sacks against Matt Judon, Kyle Van Noy, Barmore up the middle, against a talented Patriots pass rush. Does Bates keep the job for the rest of the season?
Let me rain on that parade a little bit. Apologies, but that was by design. The Patriots were trying to just keep Josh Allen in the pocket and drop guys back. They weren't trying to pressure him because they didn't want him to bounce out of the pocket. And what they learned was you cannot game plan for Josh Allen.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
We've seen him dissect the zone. We've seen him now beat man coverage with a contain. But the one thing I can say that is good about the offensive line is if one guy got through, everybody else held their block. On most of the replays that I saw, I replayed probably 80% of the game today. If one guy got beat, everybody else held their own. And Josh Allen was able to just slide and move over, just take a few steps over. It was just unbelievable to see what he was able to do while still under pressure a little bit, but just his accuracy is nearly unparalleled. You know, it's Mahomes, Allen, then everybody else when you're under pressure in the NFL. And it was just beautiful to see what the O-line looks like next week. I don't know, you know, Feliciano, such a big question mark, but if he's not 100%, we don't have to rush him back, which is great. And that's a, you know, glowing marks for Ryan Bates so far.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible to understand what we have because the next two games are not a test.
No.
So
in a way, the test will come pretty much a wild card. And there was, I read today, they were thinking, well, the way this, I think it was ESPN's mock-up of the wild card game would have the...
we're probably...
Bills first pass.
Yeah.
To go for round 3, knock him out. But hopefully it won't come to that. And hopefully we can help... we'll help Miami take that second playoff spot.
I mean,
if it goes to the East.
For as much as I would love to see New England not make the playoffs, I think they're the best matchup for us. You know, I don't want to play Indy. I don't want to play. That's probably it, honestly. But I mean, I know
we want to play the Ravens.
We can beat Baltimore. Their defense is trash. You know, look at what Cincinnati did. We can do that easily. You know, pretty much Indy. Depending on who wins that division, I don't want to play Tennessee or Indy. I know Tennessee are such frauds, but they keep winning. So I have to give them a little respect, but it's the littlest amount. You know, in the Social Network, Jesse Eisenberg is like, you have the minimum amount of my attention. And that's what Tennessee has for me.
Hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we'll probably be the third, more likely possibly be a third seed from it. But let's go.
Moving away from the game real quick.
Yeah.
I can't help. I cannot, with the next two games coming up, I'm not banking them in the win column yet because that Jags game exists. I wish that game never happened. Not just because it was our get together, our annual get together in the UK here. It's just seeing our team lay that dud makes me, it stays fresh until it's not anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have 95% confidence in this team to beat Atlanta and the Jets, but that 5% doubt comes exactly from the Jags game. I can't shake it. How about you?
Well, yeah, it's a cloud. It's one of those clouds dangling over the head. Is it going to rain down, or is it just going to sail straight by on there? I kind of get that. The final whistle, the 0-0-0 in the fourth quarter against the Jets, then we can rest a little bit easier. I probably would say my confidence is 99%. Confident 1% has that doubt in there. I mean, knowing what we've done against the Patriots, against their top defense, the number one scoring defense, one of the top defenses, what we did against the fraud Panthers top defense, because we know they haven't really faced anyone on there, and how we held our own against the Chiefs and the Bucks defense. Yes, the Chiefs defense was shit when we played them. Look at them now.
Yeah, they're
playing. Now I feel a lot more comfortable with how this offense is now maneuvering after the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, if I could
take that doubt away.
If I could just get an honest reason why the Jags game happened, if I could just have someone to blame, some decision to blame, because it can't be that they weren't prepared.
You
can't do that in the NFL. What in the game plan held us back, and where were the adjustments mid-game to overcome them? But this year's been the year of the upset in the NFL. Every top team has an ugly loss to a bad team, I think.
Exactly.
It just sucks that, you know, ours was against Jacksonville. You know, I mean, I guess Arizona's was against Detroit. And who did Tampa Bay lose to recently?
Tampa Bay was just they lost to the Saints, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, that was in, let me go back. Who did Tampa Bay lose to just recently? And it was a bad loss for them. That was their loss. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, it was the Saints. Yeah, they got shut out by the Saints, right? Yeah,
that's the one.
I was thinking of their game last year against the Saints. They lost both games. They always lose to the Saints. I don't know what it is. They lost both games to the Saints this year.
Let's quickly flip to the other side before we wrap up and talk about the defense. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we know we still got an issue with this run game.
Mm-hmm.
The pass rush seemed to have got there. It's still...
It kind of got there. I just don't see guys have the strength or the finesse to beat blocks. When we blitz, we run into somebody and the blitz is over. Nobody is exploding through their blocks. No one's getting around their blocks. And it's really frustrating to see. I do have worries about this defense when we play a good offense. The Patriots are not a good offense. They're not balanced. They only run the ball. And when you do run against us, there's also the caveat of the fact that we over-pursue way too hard.
Yeah. I think that's what's pointed out about this run.
We can't contain the edge. We always over-pursue the edge. And the Patriots ran to the corners all game long. And it was just always open for them because we're just expecting them to run up the gut. And there's just not enough contain on the edge there. I mean, our guy, Efe Obada, second most snaps on the defensive line. He got play and he was for the most part great, but, and you know, everybody on the defense got embarrassed at one point or another via the run. And
yeah,
basically thank God for our offense, right?
Yeah. I mean, the one good thing followed by slightly negative thing for this defense. Third down defense. New England were only able to move the chains one in 10 attempts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they trapped him on the run on third and one a few times, but then, as you're going to say, right?
Yep. Fourth down defense, they converted on five of six.
Yeah.
Of that. And obviously red zone defense, they were 3-3.
Yeah.
The Patriots were perfect 3-3 mm-hmm. on there. So there is positive in mm-hmm. there. There's a slight negative, but I think this was just down to, I think a couple of times we were that far ahead that the Patriots were playing catch up, and most of their fourth down conversions were runs where they had the six offensive linemen, which they seemed to like a lot and played a lot against us in the first game. They usually ran behind that, which opened it up. So that fourth down defense probably links in a bit with the run defense on there. Mm-hmm. But a couple of stats. This is how well this defense has done. Okay, yes, we're agreeing that the Patriots do not have a explosive offense and all that. But Mac Jones against man coverage against the Bills yesterday was 2-for-10 for 27 yards, an interception, and a 0.0 rating.
Yeah, he's not good yet. And maybe he will, maybe he won't be. But he's a rookie playing like a rookie with an amazingly smart head coach who's protected him from looking like all the other rookie quarterbacks this year. Trevor Lawrence in New England would probably be doing so much better than Mac Jones would be because he's a much better talent. It's just they haven't surrounded him with any receivers. You know, the tight ends in the offseason was not a big get. They need to get themselves some wide receivers. I hope they don't. But yeah, Mac Jones' ability to hit guys in stride, he's just not there. And if he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year, the NFL, they're idiots. And we know they're idiots because look at the Pro Bowl voting. But again, that doesn't matter either. So, you know, whatever these individual awards are, if he wins it, who cares? We know, you know, if we win the division, if we win playoff games, that matters more than whoever the hell wins Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, we've played since McDermott took over at 17. We played the Bill. We played the Patriots 10 times. In those meetings, I think a couple of them, I think, had Brady in it, I think.
Well, yeah.
First season of that. The Patriots have only thrown, this is to go with the throw, the pass defense, mm-hmm. Has thrown four touchdowns to seven interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2 years of Brady and then Newton and now this year Mac Jones, so... Yeah, we played New England pretty close in those early losses with McDermott and Allen when he was a young sophomore. So yeah,
we've got enough to cover him. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see that this has come out. And I was reading an article that apparently a Patriots fan actually phoned up a radio station in Boston and ranted about the game, saying there's no such thing. This is obviously about Mac Jones, saying there's no such thing as a rookie war with this kid. He's got a rag arm. He couldn't throw in that windstorm. The other guy threw it all over the park. And yes, they proved it. He's not the kid's not the quarterback of our future.
You didn't want to do that with a Boston accent?
I could try, but I probably wouldn't. He said, the future of our NFL is over in Buffalo. The guy's 6'5", 230, runs right by you, throws at 90 yards. Belichick hasn't won bumpkins without Tom Brady. So to be overinflated on this Bill Belichick, great. Defense, let's run the ball, great. Bill Parcells did that back in the 80s. Is that where we're going here with this team? Come on, it's over. AFC goes through Buffalo for 20 years. The next 20 years, not us. It's over.
Yeah, I did listen to that right before we got on. I heard that in the car driving home from Tesco's.
But
in my group chat, some guys are arguing like that's a crank call. That's not real. I'm like, nah, I've been to some Red Sox games. That's how they talk up there. So that's how they sound. So I believe it is a real call. Let me ask you, winding down here, As I said at the top, the best way the Bills season goes is we score points and force other teams to throw the ball. What other team in the AFC in the road to the Super Bowl would frighten you if they have to throw the ball?
I would say, I'd definitely 100% say Chiefs.
And I think that's the only one. I know what Burrow did yesterday, but prior to yesterday, he had only thrown 2 touchdowns or more in one of his last 5 games.
Yeah, I think
no other offense. If we can control the clock and keep scoring on offense, and we take the run away from New England, if we take the run away from Tennessee and Indy, we can beat any team in the AFC. And we've shown that we can beat Kansas City. I don't need anybody to make excuses for them. Oh, they weren't this, they weren't that back then. There's the Chiefs are the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and we beat them. Yeah. So we can do that again. If this is the Bill, since halftime at Tampa Bay, if this Bills team stays this Bills team, we're all going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the one last thing I want to end on before we wrap up, I mean, you talked about it briefly, it doesn't matter, obviously, about honours and Pro Bowls and all that. Obviously, a load of Bills fans were pissed about Hayden Poyer not being selected as part of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
They're the only safety tandem in the NFL this season to each have 5+ interceptions.
That's good stuff.
The Bills have had 3. Obviously, Hyde and Poyer this season. Hyde and Poyer again in McDermott's first season in 2017. And do you want to hazard a guess at the other one?
Nah, don't make me do that.
Mark Kelso and Henry Jones in 92.
Okay.
Good so night. The fact that we've got Poyer and Hyde still here and still performing as what should be the best safety tandem in the NFL shows that, again, you're right, the Pro Bowl votes shouldn't really matter anymore and nothing else should matter. The only thing that matters is the record and where you end up in the season.
Yes.
So anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Hell of a season so far. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the draft and what we needed to do in the offseason. And now here we are talking about winning the division. This team, they just can't make it easy on us, can they?
No, we control. But
we love it every week, and we always come back. And yeah, they have us forever.
We control our destiny now. Win the next 2, and we're AFC AFC's champions. So don't forget to keep following us at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook, YouTube, at UK_Bills on Instagram. Continue to like, follow, subscribe, share, spread the word of mouth, tell everyone, build up the fan base. And for Alex, Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Continue the love and support. And fuck you, Patriots. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on 3. 1, 2, 3.